Here on the top of Daf, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Gufa, and the Gemara is now going to analyze the statement that was brought earlier in the name of Rabbi Ami, Zibech, Zivach, Vekiter, Venisach, Behelim Echad. If he violated three different forms of Avodah Zarah, three different modes of worship in one Helim, in other words, he forgot about Avodah Zarah, he was unaware of Avodah Zarah, and he violated these three forms. Eino chayev ela achas. He brings only one chatos, which means that this is a repetition of the same isur. It's equivalent to eating dam and dam and dam be'elam achas. There's no machalik. And Rav Ami does not recognize the machalik of different forms of worship, even though he shechted for the Avodah Zarah. He took an animal and he burnt it on the altar, or he poured wine or other sort of libations. These are all different, radically different forms of idol worship, but yet they all come under one single Avera. Now keep in mind that the one avodah that he, classical form of worship that he doesn't mention, is bowing down, is ishtachvah. And the Gemara earlier on Daf Samach Beis had a machlokas, a controversy, as to why the Torah mentioned ishtachvah as a separate lav, as a separate prohibition. And according to one day, it was singled out to teach us that you have to bring a korban chatos for every single form of service, which means that there's a chiluk of avodos. That was one view. According to the other day, the Torah singles out hishtachavah just as a separate lav. And Rav Ami obviously holds like this second opinion. He cannot accept the first opinion, because he doesn't accept the principle of chiluk chatos. So it means that in the case of ishtachavah, there's just a separate lav, and it doesn't come under a chiyuv kares. So therefore, according to Rav Ami, if with one haloma he violates many different forms of worship, then he brings one single korban chatos, and therefore it must be that ishtachavah was left out as a separate lav, which means it doesn't generate a chiyuv chatos. The Gemara says, "My time of the Rav Ami, Omar Kro Lo Si Avdim." The Poskin Shmos in the Aseres Hadibros, it says Lo Si Avdim in the plural, and it links together all the different avodos under one rubric called avoda. Kosev Ason Kulam Avoda, Avoda Achas. In other words, the Torah has a prohibition against idol worship that's all-inclusive. And the reason why Rabbi Ami darshans this pasuk is because the pasuk is miutar, and it's an extra pasuk. We have in the Torah many, many different azharos that enjoin us from idol worship. Therefore, this extra pasuk also of them is coming to link together all the avodos under one indivisible rubric. And it would seem that if not for this extra pasuk, Rav Ami would agree that fundamentally, al pi svara, we should apply the principle of chiluk avodos, and he should be bringing a separate chatas for each mode of idol worship. And the reason for that is that the mechalik of the different avodos should be no different than tamchuyin mechalkim. For example, we find in Masechta Kresos that if you eat chalev in one form and then you cook it in another form, you fry it, each one generates a separate chiyuv chatas because of the chiluk. So even though you have shem echad, you have chilukim in the pu'ula, in the nature of the tzuras ha-pu'ula. Here too, there might be one overall collective isur, but yet there are different forms of avoda, each one with its own tzuras ha-maisa. But because the Torah went out of its way with this extra pasuk, therefore the Torah is undermining the Svara of Chiluk, and therefore you bring one Chatas. The Gemara says, Umi Omar Abai Hachi. Did Abai really say this? Because Abai was the one who gave this explanation for Rabbi Ami, that the Pasuk Losa Avdeim links all the Avodas into one Maisa, one service. For Omar Abaye, Sholosh Hishtachavos Bavodas Kachom Lama. Why does the Torah repeat itself over and over, three times over, to prohibit bowing down to an idol? And these psukim appear, number one, in the Aseret HaDibros, it says, Los Hishtachave Lahem. And again in the Aseret HaDibros, it says, Kilos Hishtachave Le'el Acher. And then it says, Los Hishtachave Le'elohehem. And these psukim appear in Perek Chaf, in Perek Lamed Dalid, Perek Chaf Gimel, different times. But basically, the Iser Shtachava appears in three different forms, in three different psukim. And again, keep in mind, Abai is not counting Parshas Vaschanon, where the Torah repeats the Aseret HaDibros. And once again, we have another prohibition against the Shtachava. But there are three different prohibitions against the Shtachava. Achas Lichadarka, one generates an Iser Shtachava when that's the usual Kedarka, the way that particular idol is worshipped. Achas Shalo Kedarka, which means that a Shtachava comes under a separate category as an absolute form of worship that applies straight across the board, no matter what idol and what idolatry you're talking about. And that's even Shalo Kedarka, that's not the accepted custom vis-a-vis that particular idol. The Achas L'chalik. But the third pasuk is coming to set up Chiluke Chatos, that if you violate Avodah Zorah with different modes of worship, each mode of worship generates its own Chatos. And in effect, Abai now disagrees with Rav Ami. But again, if you're careful about it, Rav Ami was the one who made the original ruling. Abai was just trying to explain and justify Rav Ami's conclusion. Abai was never committed to that position. And that's what the Gemara says now, Lidvarov de Rabbi Ami Ka'omar. Abai was only giving an explanation for Rav Ami, but Valei lo svirli. But he himself, Abai himself, never accepted this logic. Meaning, when Abai saw the Pasuk Losa Avdeim, he understood that pasuk could really form a makar, a justification for Rav Ami's psak. He himself had a different interpretation of this pasuk, and that is that the Torah wanted to add another losis, another azhara for idol worship. Now, on the other hand, as Rashi points out, we have to understand, what does Rav Ami do with the third pasuk of Hishtachava? And the answer is, as we said earlier, according to Rabbi Ami, the third pasuk of Hishtachava sets up Hishtachava as a separate lav, which does not generate a chiyuv kares. Gufa, the Gemara says, Omer Abaye, Shalosh Hishtachavos Bavodas Kochovim Loma. Abaye asks the question, why did the Torah repeat itself in joining us from bowing down to an idol on three different occasions? Achas Le Kedarka, V'achas L'shalokadak, V'achas L'chalek. So the Gemara says, L'chadarka, we need a pasuk in Vashtachava to teach us that he violates idol worship in the normal way that particular idol is worshipped. How could it be so? I don't need a pasuk for that. Me, don't we have the pasuk? And this pasuk is in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, Echa Yavdu Agoyim Ha'ela. Let's read the whole pasuk. Hisham lecha pen tidrosh leloheyem leimar. Echa yavdu hagoyim ha'eles eloheyem v'esa kein gam ani. Which means, in the usual custom of Avodah Zorah, I will imitate them. So you see that the Torah speaks about Kedarka in this pasuk. Why do I need an extra pasuk v'shtachava? Ella, says the Gemara, let's reformulate Abaye's original statement. Achas kedarka v'shalo kedarka. The first pasuk is teaching me a case where it is kedarka, but it's also shalo kedarka. In other words, this particular avodah zarah is served in many different ways, not just tishtachava. It means, for example, the normal custom vis-a-vis this idol worship is to do an act of respect for the idol. And even though shtachava is not necessarily the normal way you serve this idol, but it also comes under the category of a respectful act, and therefore the Torah with this extra pasuk is including hishtachava, even in the case where that's not the, necessarily the outstanding custom of respectful acts for this avodah zarah. We'll soon see that there are other forms of avodah zarah where the idol, instead of being respected, it requires a degrading kind of worship. And that's going to be the subject of Abai's second lav of Hishtavachas L'Shalo Kedarka, meaning that the concept of respectful act is totally out of line, out of style with regard to this particular avodah zarah. And the two cases that we mentioned back in the Mishnah Daf Samach are Pa'ar and Markulis. In those cases, bowing down is it's off the charts, it's unusual. But now the Torah is adding the pasuk Hishtachava, that even in a case where you have an idol that's normally worshipped in a degrading way, Hishtachava is nevertheless considered a form of avodah zarah. And then the third Hishtachava, the third lav, is V'yachas L'chalek, to teach us that you chaya for each different form of service a separate chatos, and that's the sheet of Abaye. Now, the Gemara back on Daf Samach Aleph Amin Aleph, in the case of Shechita, of Zibuach to Avodah Zorah, the Gemara sets up a principle with regard to slaughtering an animal, that mode of idol worship is absolute and applies even in the case of Pa'ar or the case of Arkulis, even when the normal way of serving the idol is by degrading the idol. And there it seems that all we need is one extra pasuk in order to teach us that a certain kind or form of avodah zarah is absolute. Why is it necessary now, according to Abaye, to derive this case, which is achas kedarka, achas shalo kedarka, and we need a special pasuk? In other words, on the one hand, we need a pasuk for shechita, for avodah zarah, and on the other hand, we need this general halacha of hishtachava three times to teach us that hishtachava is prohibited, even if it's shalo kedarka. It would seem that we need a special pasuk for shechita, because shechita now becomes a paradigm. Those havodos that are done lifnim in the Migdash. If we didn't have that pasuk, we might have derived from Hishtachava, and so far as Hishtachava is not a specific kind of service in the Mishkan, in the Migdash, we might think that any respectful service whatsoever, even if it's Shalo Kedarka, would generate a Chiyuv Misa, a Chiyuv Skila for Avodah Zarah. But the Torah is telling us, no, that Shechita is the one kind of service that's even Shalo Kedarka. But don't extrapolate from Hashtachava that any respectful act is always upgraded to the status of idol worship. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamakablo olav beloha ha'omer lo eli ata. If a person accepts upon himself an idol as a deity, or for that matter, even a person as a deity, and he declares, you are my God, Now, in the language of the Mishnah, it seems that there are two different cases. Number one is Makabel of Eloha. Number two is Haomer Lo Eliata. He declares, "You are my God." So either of these two will generate a Chiv Misa for Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara now quotes Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is going to have something to say about this idea of being Chayav Misa just for making a declaration without an actual Misa, an actual service in the biological sense. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravu, Omer Rav. All this is in the name of Rav. Kevon Sha'omalo Eli Ata Chayav. Now, Rav ostensibly is not adding a thing to what we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says he's Chayav for Kabbalas Eloah, for declaring this is my God. What is Rav coming to add? Lamai. Ilik Tola, if Rav is coming to teach us that he's put to death just for this declaration, is Masnisini, that's already explicit in the Mishnah. So I don't need Rav for that. And the Gemara says, Ela lekarbon. Maybe we need a chiddush that in a case of a shogeg, even though he did nothing as an action, but he made a declaration, that's enough to be mechayev him a karbon. Now, usually the rule of thumb is that if you b'mezid achayev karis or above Mises Bezdin, then automatically b'shogeg yachayev a karbon. Here in this case, the Gemara raises the possibility of a hava mina. I'm not sure if this is a gether of a hava mina, but in any event, when you learn the Mishnah, it's not crystal clear what the din of shogeg is, and for that we needed the statement of Rav to specify, spell out exactly what the din of a shogeg is. Now at this point, the Gemara wants to know, what about a machlokes in Masech de Krisos? It sounds like Rav is really stepping into a minefield over here. Vafilu Rabbanon, we have the Shita of the Chachamim quoted in the beginning of Krisos, and according to the Chachamim, with regard to a Megadev, a blasphemer, he's not Chayev a Karbon Chatos. That's according to the Chachamim. Let's first mention the Shita of the Tanakama. The Tanakama says, and the Gemara identifies Tanakama as Rabbi Akiva, that a Megadev is Chayev to bring a Chatos. And the Chachamim say no. He did not actually do anything. There's no Maisa Haguf, and therefore there's no Chiyuv Karbon in such a case. And the Chachamim, insofar as they require a physical action, seem to be saying the exact opposite of what we learned here in the case of, in the statement of Rav. In other words, if the Rabbanon in Krisus will alleviate the Chiyuv Karbon for the Megadev insofar as he was not involved in a physical action, then if a person says, Ze Eli, this is my God, or you are my God, then once again, he should not be Chayav a Karbon, according to the Shitas Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's very good. If a Megadev who only speaks is Chayav a Karbon, then the same, or maybe with a Kal V'chomer, the same should be true in the case of someone who declares you are my deity. Now, again, the question of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is about a Chiyuv Chatos in the case of Shogeg, according to the Rabbanon, who derived their conclusion from different psukim there in the Masech Tekrisus, they agree that as far as Mezid is concerned, in a case of deliberate transgression, that engenders a chiyuv misa, even if it's only dibur, it's only speech, and not action. So therefore, when our Mishnah says that if someone declares, you are my God, he's subject to skila, that's not a machlokas. The Gemara realizes that that's likuy alma. But when Rav went a step further, and he said that even as far as chatas is concerned, there will be a chiv chatas engendered by the statement, the oral statement, declaration that ze eli, or eli ata, that's against the shitas chachamim, who say that there's no chiv chatas for shgaga in the case of dibur. And that's what the Gemara says, Vatanya, don't we have a brisa that says, according to the Rabbanon, Eino chayev ela al dover sheyesh bo maisa, that he only has to bring a karbon chatos if he does a maisa. And this is based on the fact that the Torah says in Vayikra Perek Dalid, that when do you bring a chatos? It's for someone who violates, who does one of the commandments of Hashem that are not to be done. You know, it's he violates, and that's implying that it has to be a maisa guf, a kumva, say, not just speech. And therefore, eino chayev el al dover sheish po maisa kigon zibuach v'kishur v'nisuch v'shtachava. These are all forms of maisa. V'omer eshlokish man tane shtachava. Wait a second, the Braisa says Yechayv Achatos Fashtachava, Hishtachava is not really a Maisa, and therefore Reish Lakish identifies the author of that Braisa with Rabbi Akiva, he, D'Yomar Lo Bein and Maisa. The same Rabbi Akiva who says that in Magade for a verbal declaration Yechayv Achatos, he says that bowing is also enough to be Mechayv you Chatos. In other words, What basically is Rabbi Akiva's yesod? When a Magadif uses his lips, that movement of his lips, what we call in the Gemara's language Akimas Fasayim, is tantamount to a Maisa. And if that be the case, then almost with a Kalvachomer, bending one's body, in the case of Ishtachava, is certainly enough to be considered a Maisa. And therefore this brisa that says that Ishtachava is no different than Kitur and Nisuch as far as the Chiyuv Chatas is concerned must be identified with Rabbi Akiva, who says that Megadif is Chayav Chatas. His Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva diomar lo bein and maisa. Michlal, what do we derive from this statement of Reish Lakish? It is Drabbanon Savri bein and maisa. That by identifying this brisa of Ishtachava with a chiyuv chatos with Rabbi Akiva, it means that the Chacham who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva in the case of Megadev and Akimas Vasayim is not considered a maisa, they would therefore say, well, Be'in and Maisa, Ishtachava is not a maisa, and therefore they cannot be the authors of this price. You cannot attribute this price to Rabbanon, according to Reish Lakish, because Rabbanon hold that you need a Maisa in order to be Chayav Achatos, and neither Megadef nor Mishtachaver are involved in moving the body. In other words, there is a certain element of moving the body with regard to Ishtachava, but it doesn't have an impact on any other object. It's not, for example, in Melecha Shabbos, every Melecha has an impact on an object. In the case of Zivuach and Kitur and Nisuch, all these forms of idol worship have an impact on the object. The world is different. But in the case of bowing doesn't have any impact on any object in the world, and therefore its status should be the same as someone who moves his lips, Akimus Fasayim, in the case of Megadif. So since Ramonin say Megadif that you're potter from Chatos, they would therefore likewise say that in the case of Ishtachavah, you're potter from a Chatos. And therefore, the Gemara is arguing that if a person declares a deity, he says Eliata, then that's not enough of a Maisa. That's just Akimas Fasayim. According to Rabbanon, they would not be Mechayev you a Chatos in the case of Shogeg. So then, are we saying, therefore, that this entire statement of Rav Nachman in the name of Rav is against the Rabbanon? And we don't really get excited about such a possibility. And the Gemara answers, Kikoma Rav, when Rav made this statement that if you say Ze Eli or Ata Eli, that you're Chayev, is Rav was talking about Li Rabbi Akiva Ka'omar. Enochinami, he was only telling you that according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you don't need a Maisa Beguf, but Akimas Vasayim is enough. Therefore, in the case of Ze'eli and the Akimas Vasayim of accepting the deity, you are my God, that's enough to generate a Chiyuv Chatos. And that's what Rav Ami has in mind. But Rabbi Akiva, Pshita, the Gemara says, if you're telling me that Rav is only telling me a Chiddush in Rabbi Akiva, that if this Brisa that says that you are my God is Machayev Chatos, is authored by Rabbi Akiva, then Pshita, that doesn't add anything. Rav didn't add anything that I wouldn't have known, because Hainu Magadev. To the same extent that if a person blasphemes with an oral declaration, a verbal declaration, he's Chayev Misa, and in the case of Shogeg, he's Chayev Chata, so too, by logical analogy, we should apply the same conclusion to the case of Ze'eli. With even a Kalvachomer. He's not only being Megadev, he's also declaring him as a deity. That declaration should generate a Chiyuv Chatos. So what was the big deal? What was the big Chiddush here of Rav? What is Rav adding that we wouldn't have known without him? And the Gemara answers, Ma'o de Tema. We had a half meaning to say Ad Kan Lo Mechayev Rabbi Akiva Karbon. Even Rabbi Akiva says that Yechayev a Karbon for Akimas Fasayim in the case of Megadev, he has his limitations. Elo Megadev Diksiv Beikares. Megadev is in the parsha of Kares. That's in Bamidbar Perek Tes Vav. And if you start from Perek, from Pasuk Lamed, you'll see that an unintentional Megadev is chayev a karbon chatos. If he was intentional, he would be chayev kares. So we would have thought that when Rabbi Akiva says that a Megadev has to bring a chatos, that's only because the parsha itself mentions chatos with regard to the Megadev. He's Ankan lo ka'omer lo mechayev Rabbi Akiva Korban el Megadev tichsiv beikares. The Torah is outspoken about kares, but as a general rule, even Rabbi Akiva would agree to the Chachamim that Akimas Vasayim does not constitute a mice and it would not engender onshim. And that was the real Havamina before Rav. Hocha dolo ksiv beikares. When a person declares, you are my God, there the Torah doesn't specify that he's chayev a karmon, and aim a law. I would therefore assume that we can equate the case of Ze'eli with the case of Megadev, and both of them are potter from a karmon. Kamash balon, that's the chiddush of Rav, that the kushe is kushe iskush. There's a hekesh between Ze'eli and another case of idol worship where you have a carbon chatos. We'll see what that case is in just a minute. The chsiv, based on the pasuk that says, Vayishtachu lo, Vayizbechu lo, Vayomru, which means that he says, you are my God. Right? We, the Gemara doesn't quote the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, Ela Elohei Yisrael. These are the gods of Israel. And the pasuk here, Vayishtachu lo, Vayizbechu lo, Vayomer, mentions Shechita. So we have now an equation here in the same pasuk. We have both Ishtachava and we have Ze'eli, because Eilel Hech Yisrael, that's what the Jews declared out loud about the Egel. And in the light, in the framework of this Hekesh, we derive the conclusion that just like in the case of Shechita for Avodah Zarah, there's a Chiyuv Karban Chatos, if it was done B'shogeg, so too, if a person declares Ze'eli, you are my God, then he's Chayev Kares, again, assuming if it was unintentional, and it has the same exact din as the case of Shechita. Just like in Shechita, Yochayev a Karban Chatos, so too, Ze'eli, Yochayev a Karban Chatos. Now the Gemara goes off a little bit into Agadita for a split second, and it says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in the pasuk that we mentioned before, Vayishtachu lo vayizbechu lo vayomru Eile Elohecha Yisrael, there is a vav. It says Ve'ele Elohecha Yisrael. I'm sorry, not in the pasuk Eile Elohecha Yisrael, but it says Helucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and it says Ve'helucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So there's an extra vav in the word Helucha. And what is this extra vav coming to teach us? Nischaivu Rishoyim Shal Yisrael Kloya. That the enemies of the Jewish people, that's a euphemism for Israel, are chayiv to be destroyed. And the reason for that is because of this Avodah Zarah of worshipping the Egel. So that says Rabbi Yochanan, is the importance of the vav. The vav is going to teach us that lo nischayvu rasheim shel Yisrael kloya, that ve when it says vehelucha, it means that they admit or they believe that there's a God who took them out of Mitzrayim. The problem is that at the same time they add the Egel as a, I don't know what you want to call it, as a helper of God, and they worship the Egel. So it's quite clear that what saved the Jewish people is that they viewed the Egel as a kind of conduit, if you will, an intermediary. But the main entity here is Elohecha Yisrael. And that's what saved them, because if not for the fact that they believed in God as the all-powerful and these forms of Avodah Zarah are only conduits, if they would have denied God, then the worship, the idol worship itself would make that a full-fledged deity, you know, that they accepted upon themselves, they'd be chayv misa for that. Kitanoi. And now the Gemara says that this explanation is a matter of a debate between two Tanoim. Acherim Omrim, there are others who say, in that same Brisa that we mentioned before, Acherim, by the way, in Horios is Rabbi Meir, Ilmole Vav Shebehelucha, if not for the Vav, in you have brought us up, Nischaivu Rishoyim Shal Yisrael Kloya, we would have been Chayiv Misa, all of us. Why? Because then we do not add that this, you know, that there is a God, forget about the Egel, there is a God that took us out of Mitzrayim. But the Vav here that says Ve'helucha Meretz Mitzrayim is coming to separate the first part of the Pasuk from the second part of the Pasuk. And if in the first part of the Pasuk they are accepting the calf as some sort of an idol and a power, but at the same time they realize that the ultimate power is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He took them out of Mitzrayim. That's what saved Bnei Yisrael from total extermination. Amalo, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, v'alo kol ha-mishtatev, shem shamayim v'dover acher, nekar min olam. Not only are we enjoined from worshiping an idol, but even if we, in one breath, we combine the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with La'avdil Elf Avdolos, the name of Avodah Zarah, that's called Dover Acher, then that's called Shituf. And for Shituf, you are Chayev as a worshiper of Avodah Zarah. Even though, again, you're declaring, you know, that there's both Almighty God and this idol. But the Torah is saying, Nekar min olam, he's torn away from this world. Shenemar bilti l'Hashem levado. You're only allowed to mention God in heaven, and no other angels can be mentioned in that context. And that's what we're deriving from the pasuk Zovech l'Elohim Yechram bilti l'Hashem levado. Meaning that even if you pair up the name of God together with the false god, the idol that you're worshipping, it doesn't matter. This prohibition against Shituf, when a person pairs up the name of God with a false god, is derived from this pasuk here, Bilti Lashem Levado, and incurs a Chiyuv Misa. This person has to be destroyed. So therefore, the Tanakhama, says Rabbi Shimon, which again we identified him with Rabbi Meir, but it's called Achirim. The Tanakhama here is making a big mistake by saying that, oh, and God in heaven took you out of Mitzrayim. No, that doesn't ameliorate the situation, because now it comes Shituf, because you started by praising God in heaven, and then you made the shift to a human created God. And that's obviously a very severe violation of Avodah Zarah. And that's called Shituf, as we said before, to Mishatev, Shem Shamayim, with the Shem Dover Acher. So we want to, if possible, avoid that situation. Now, if you go back to the case of the actual historical case of the Egel HaZov, then those who worshipped the Egel HaZov, they accepted upon themselves not only the golden calf as a deity, but many other deities. Take a look at Rashi. In other words, they didn't pair up with the Chet HaEgel or the Shem HaShem, the ineffable name of Hashem. On the contrary, they didn't have that knowledge, but they had a natural intuitive recognition of God as the omnipotent power, and therefore they were of the opinion that God had jurisdiction over the entire world, and therefore they accepted all these worlds and their hosts and their lords and so forth and so on as if they were supernatural beings that operated above nature. Gemara now is backtracking on what it said, that Ve'helucha Meretz Mitzrayim means God plus the Egel, because that would be Shituf. But rather, we should say Matamaloma Shalucha. What's the thrust to the meaning of this pasuk? Shalucha has brought you up. She'ivu Elohus Harbe, that they desired many gods, and that's the He'elucha. The thrust of this is to say that Zovech Elohim Yechram Bilti Lashem Levado, which means he slaughters offerings to the gods and he will be destroyed, is teaching us that if one pairs up the name of God with a false god, then he will be destroyed. In the case of those who worship the idols, the golden calf, they accepted them upon themselves other deities in addition to the calf. They didn't pair up the calf with the one in heaven, On the contrary, they were fully, they had acknowledged fully God's omnipotence, but they considered that he had delegated a lot of the authority and the control over the world to these tzvakos, these hosts, and they accepted their hosts as their gods. And this was the original, as the Rambam describes at the beginning of Hilchos Hakam, the original development of Avodah Zarah. You recognize God's omnipotence, but at the same time you believe that God relegated certain jurisdiction over the world to these we'll call them senators or officers, and we worship the officers. That's how Avodah Zarah came about. The Mishnah says, Aval amagapev, vamanashek, hamachabe, vamarabe, it's all these other forms of respectful acts for the Avodah Zarah did not generate a chiyuv misa, but the exception is when he vows in the name of a false god, if he swears in the name of a false god. In such a case, either in the case where he takes a neder and he prohibits something upon himself in the name of such and such a god, or he takes a vow in the name of such a god, in both these cases he violates a lav, and that's derived from the pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, V'shem Elohim Achirim Lo Tazkiru. So as soon as you mention a false god, either by vowing or swearing, then it's not a matter of accepting a deity, and therefore it's not a chiv misa, but he violates the prohibition of Shem Elohim Achirim Lo Tazkiru. And that's what the Mishnah says. Ki also Rav Dimi came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Omar, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, he said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, Al Kulam Loke. In all these cases, whether it's those acts of showing, embracing and so showing respect to the Avodah Zarah, or the case of Noder and Nishba, in all these cases, you get Malkus. But here he says, Chutz mei Noder Bishmo, Vamakayim Bishmo. And the exception to this rule of Malkus is Neder or Shvua Bishmo, because even though he violates a lav, but he hasn't done a Maisa. So the Gemara says, Maishno HaNoder Bishmo, Vamakayim Bishmo, Deloloki, why Mishum Davile Lav Shem Bo Maisa? If the principle is that you only get Malkus if there's a Maisa, and in the case of vowing and swearing, these are violations that you commit through Dibur, but not through Maisa, and that's called a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. That's a Sugya in Makis Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Is Hachinami, we should apply the same logic to the other acts mentioned here of Chibuf and Nishuk and Machabit and so forth, under a different rule that exempts you from Malkus, that's called Lav Shebechlolosu. In other words, when the Torah gives you one Lav in the Torah, and from that one Lav, that one Pasuk, you derive many different Maisim, many different individual Isurim, because the Torah says that you shouldn't follow alien gods or turn to those idols, and therefore we derive all these different things. That's called a lav shebechlolos. When you have one lav in the Torah formulated once, that engenders many different isurim. And the Gemara now quotes a brisa to give an example of lav shebechlolos. Ein lokin a lav shebechlolos. There's no malchus and a lav shebechlolos. Desanya minayin li ochel. And now there's a whole list of isurim, all of which are derived from one losas in the Torah, and they don't engender malchus because of lav shebechlolos. Number one is ochel mebehema kodem shetetzei nafsha. If you slaughtered an animal, but the animal is not completely dead, right? It's still a mefarches. And if you eat from the flesh of the animal before it's completely dead, shuba losase, and that's derived from the pasuk losochel al adam. And once again, we're going to see how many different lavim, how many different averas are derived from losochal adam, and they don't generate a chiv malchus because of lav shebechlolos tavrachel losochal adam losochlu bosav adayin dom bamizrak. In other words, you're not allowed to eat the meat of a carbon, the flesh of a carbon, when the blood is still, it's before zrika, when it's still collected in a klishares, and it hasn't yet been subject to zrika. Zrika is going to be matir the basar. And the Brisa goes on to tell you about another lav that's derived from the same pasuk, lo sochlu al hadam, and that is in the name of Rabdosa, minayin she'ein mavrin al harugi bezdin shenemar talmudomelo sochlu al hadam, that the sudas avro, which is given by, you know, to the avelum after kfura, the first meal when they begin their avelus, is called the sudas avro. In the case of a relative of Harugi Bezdin, his relative was put to death in a capital crime, there's no Sudas Havra, meaning the normal halachas of Avelus are suspended, is Shenemar Lo Socha Adam. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he derives another lav, Minayin She Sanhedrin Shahargo Sanefesh, on the day that Sanhedrin put someone to death, Ein Tonim Klum Kol Osa Yom, they're not allowed to eat during the entire day. Tamalomalo sochlu al hadam. Dam means the blood that's about to be shed when the Bezdin implements the death penalty. Now, for some reason, the Gemara here doesn't quote another Iser about eating before davening. I'm not sure why that's omitted here. And in any event, we see clearly that there's no malchus for a lav shebechlolos. Om Rabbi Yochanan as horla ben soru mora minayin talmud lomelo sochlu al hadam, that in the case of ben soru mora, where is the azhara for ben soru mora who's put to death, lo sochlu al hadam? Because again, the ben soru mora, he commits theft and gluttony, and his parents warned him many times that he was, and they gave him lashes in Bezdin, and he can, despite that all, he continues to persist in that behavior. He's put to death through stoning, and the Torah says that the punishment for Ben Soromor is skila. Where is the azhara? And the answer is from Lo Sochlu Al Adam. Do not eat meat that will bring about your dam, your death. And that's the meat that he, you know, that he purchased with money that he stole from his parents. And that's going to be the lav that he violates. V'yomer Rabbi Ovin bar Chia. V'yitemer Rabbi Ovin bar Kahana. Akulam eino loke mishum davile lav shebechlolos. And now if we take the case of someone who embraces or kisses an idol or any of the other demonstrations of kavod and affection, there should not be a chiv malchus because of lav shebechlolos. Ella said, therefore, the Gemara says we have to offer a different version of the statement ki asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Lazar, the statement of Ravin when he came to Babel from Eretz Yisrael, the name of Rabbi Lazar, al kulam eino loke, there is no malchus for chibu v'nishuk and so forth and so on. Chutzman anode b'shmo v'makayim b'shmo, there you do get malchus. Ah, you'll ask me, maishna ahanach d'loloki mishum davi lav shebechlolos haninami lav shembo maise. In the case of vowing and swearing the name of a false god, it's a lav shembo maise, so there shouldn't be any malchus. And the Gemara answers, ahu ki Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Lozer was paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. Diyomer lav she'ein bo maise lokin alav. He's the one who says that he had malchus for nosar. Nosar would be the classical case of a lav she'ein bo maise. There's no action. The sanyu we learned in a brisa lo so siru menu ad boker bo akosav litein esei achar losase. The Torah made nosar into a lav hanitak liese. And the Torah said that if you violate the isur lav of nosar, you leave the basar of kodshim beyond its allotted time until the morning, then you have a mitzvah of ba'esh tisarif. And what is the upshot? What is the import of adding this essay to the lav? And now we turn to daf Samak Gimel Amid Beis Lomar She'ein Lokin Olav, that you don't get Malkus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is implying that the only reason why you don't get Malkus for Nosar is because a lav anitak l'essay. Had it been a lav shem bo maisi, you would get Malkus. Rabbi Yaakov Homer Lomen Hashemu said this is not the reason why he's parted from Malkus in the case of Nosar. Mishum da'avile lav she'ein bo maisa v'chol lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin olav. Again, you could ask the question according to Rabbi Yaakov, why do you invoke this principle of lav she'ein bo maisa? He wouldn't get Malkus because it's a lav hanitak liese. And the answer to that, based on the sugya in Malkus, is that if you only have the reasoning of lav she'ein bo maisa, I'm sorry, let's start the other way. If you only have the reasoning of lav anitak liese, then under certain circumstances, the essay doesn't exist. Let's say he destroys the essay, he takes the nosar and he gets rid of it, not through sreifa. In such a case, it's no longer lav anitak liese, and you would get Malkus. But the answer is, says Rabbi Yaakov, it's a lav shein bo maisa, and therefore you don't get Malkus. Michlal Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lokin Olav, despite the fact that Nosar is a lav shein bo maisa, you would get Malkus, if not for the fact that it's nitak liese. And that's the shita Rabbi Lozer here, that in the cases of Noder and Nishpa, B'Shem Vodazara, you get Malkus here, even though it's a lav shein bo maisa. And again, going back to the Mishnah, Noder B'Shmo V'Makayim B'Shmo Areze B'Losaseh, where is this losas? I know the bishmo makayim bishmo minolan. Where is the source in the Torah? The sanya v'shem Elohim achirim losas kiru. The pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, following the Aseret Sadiris, talks about avodah zarah, and there it says that if he mentions the name of an alien god, he violates this law. Shlo yomar adam lechavero. The Braisa teaches you're not allowed to say to a friend, you know what, we have to meet up at a certain place, Shmarli Bitsada Vodazar Plonis, wait for me in the street of the idol. Lo Yishoma al Picha. The Pasuk tells you over there in the same place in Shmoskov Gimelet, you should not be heard, the name of God should not be heard through you. And then the Braisa continues to derive from this pasuk, Shalo Yidar Bishmo Velo Yikayim Bishmo, no vow or pledge or oath in the name of an idol. Velo Yigrom Lachirim Sheyidru Bishmo Yikayim Bishmo. You're not allowed to even cause someone else. For example, you go into a business deal with a guy and you know that there may be a need in court for an oath, and this guy, this heathen idol worshiper, is going to take a shvuah in the name of his idol, and you've caused him to do so. And therefore, you're not allowed to get yourself into such a situation. Davarachelo Yishoma Al Picha Azhar Lemesis Ulemediach. Now, Mesis and Mediach are two different categories, very similar. The Mesis is usually translated as the instigator, and the Mediach is the subverter. The Mesis is the one who gets others to worship Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara thinks right now that you need an Azhara for Mesis. So the Gemara says, Mesis Behejik Siv Bei V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro. We have an explicit Azhara for Mesis. So Ella, the Gemara says, let's reread the Braisa. Azhara le Mediach. Mediach is the one who is the so-called subverter. And the sugya later on, Adaf Samach Zion, is going to analyze the difference between the Mesis and the Mediach. The Mediach, in a sense, is more guilty because the Mesis, although he instigates individuals or small groups of people to idol worship, it's not as bad as the Mediach. The subverter is the one who generates an irani dachas. He somehow entices an entire city to worship an idol. And the Gemara is offering a suggestion here in the Braisa that perhaps the Azhara for Mediach is this pasuk of Lo Yishama Al Picha. The Gemara now takes a look at another part of the Braisa. It says, "V'lo yigrom lachirim sheyidru b'shmo v'shekayim b'shmo." What does it mean? He doesn't cause others to vow in the name of an idol worship. Misayel le'lavud Shmuel. The Omer Avud Shmuel aser li adam sheyase shutafus im oved kochavim. One is forbidden from entering into a partnership deal with an idol worship. Shemi yischayv lo shvua. That the name of an idol should not be heard through you. You shouldn't be the cause of his violating the iser of mentioning the name of an idol. And this is all the statement of Avud de Shmuel, that with regard to this avera of mentioning the idol's name, there's a causative avera. Not only when you do the avera b'kumvaseh yourself, but even if you're a gorem, that too is considered part of the iser. Now, when an idol worshiper becomes obligated to swear to a Jew, it makes sense now that the Jew should not demand the idol worshiper a fulfillment of his obligation, because that would be a cause of the idol worshiper to mention the name of God. Avud Shmuel says you should even avoid a situation that could eventually bring to the case of an obligation of an oath, because even if the Jew would not choose to enforce the obligation, demand the oath, the idol worshiper might spring forward on his own initiative. He wants to prove that he's guiltless and vindicate himself, and he would take the oath in the name of his idols. Ki asa ula bas, he went to sleep when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Bekalnevo, in the town of Kalnevo. Amalei Rava vehechi bar mar. He innocently, naively asked him, "Where did mar?" Meaning, my master ula, where did you sleep and spend the night? Amalei Bekarnevo. Bekalnevo, let's not leave out the lamed, Bekalnevo. Omar Le, Rava says, how can you mention the name Kalnevo? You're not allowed to enunciate the name of alien gods, and Kalnevo is the name of an idol. They named that city after the idol, after the god. Amalei Ula said, "Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Avodas Kolcha Maksuv B'Torah Mutal LaHazkir Shmo." If the name of the Avodah Zarah somewhere appears in the Torah itself, you're allowed to mention its name. And the Gemara now is going to try to clarify exactly where we find the name of Karnevo. And Rava asks, "Vahech Iksiva, where do you find this name Karnevo?" The Chsiv Ula answered, "Kora Bal Kores Nevo." This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi, which mentions the word Nevo, and literally, if you translate it, it's a Bal squats, Nevo splashes, and Nevo is a reference to this Kalnevo. The pasuk is sort of, in a sense, making fun of this form of an idol. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ilo k'siva lo." But if the name of the idol is not written in the Torah, then it's also to mention its name is Masav Hamasharshia. What about the Mishnah in Masecht Zavin, Ra Achas Meruba Kesholosh? Shehi kimagdanyon l'shilo, shein shtei tefilos u'shnei sipugim, hareze zav gamur. And the name of the idol here is Gad, is Gadyagon, which apparently doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh, and yet the Mishnah itself mentions it. Omar Avino Gad Nami Michtav Ksivi. You will find some sort of an allusion to this God in the Torah, in the written Torah itself. Ksiv Ha'orchim LeGad Shulchan, and that's a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. Okay, so we'll stop here.